Hello, I am Sarah.
And I'm Pam. And together we are
Dos Ticas.
Two Ticas in Design.
We are friends, fun girls, and fellow designers.
We have conversations about design and how it affects our everyday life.
And we want to let you peek into our world.
So let's get to it.
Today we have a topic that we are very excited about. I feel like we're excited about all the topics, but...
Yeah, I think we're just going to keep saying that.
We just should make that like part of our intro as well. Like, and today we're talking about
something I think
we're
very
excited about.
Second intro.
Today we're talking about INFJ. And I wonder how many people out there like understand right away what that means.
I wonder too. Who knows?
It's something that I put very often in my profiles and things like that, in my personal profiles. I just put like INFJ and I'm like, because my thinking is like, if you get it, then you get it. But
yeah,
INFJ
is
part of the Myers-Briggs personality philosophy theory. I'm not sure what the word would be there, but there is this like, psychology study that believes that most, if not all, people can be kind of divided into like 16 type of personalities. And so each letter stands for something different. And it's a bit of a long test for like 15 minutes-ish. Well, the one that you can take for free. There's more complicated ones that you can pay for, but the one that most people take because it's for free, it takes about 15 minutes. And then it kind of like puts you in one of these boxes. Although I've heard that you can change throughout your life. But the interesting thing is that INFJ is supposedly the smallest, like the smallest group. And yet I've met so many people who are INFJs.
I know. Although I have a theory about that. I have a theory about why you see so many INFJs out there.
Go ahead.
And I don't know if I should tell it right. Okay. Yeah. So I was, so in preparation for today's conversation, which I was also very excited about, I was rewatching some videos. There's a ton of content out there for like the 16 personality types and stuff. There is James, I can't remember his name, but there's like a summary on what each letter would represent. And it was 4 minutes. So I watched it. And in the end, he shows that INFJ really is the rarest. But in reality, there are a lot of personality types that are not as common. Like the most common is only like 13% of like the population. So it's not really that accurate. And my theory is that because of the way INFJs are, you know, how we are more intuitive and we like to look for patterns and understand things like in a deeper level, that's why this matters to us. So we, you know, we take the test, we read about it, we feel understood, it changes our lives, whatever. And then we send it to a bunch of other people, which I have done. And I'm sure that you have done so too, because I took it because you sent it to me a while ago. Because we like patterns and we like understanding things. And so this test that helps us understand ourselves better would be interesting to us. It would stick with us and it would become part of how we see ourselves. I have sent it to a lot of other people and they just kind of tell me what they are and never talk about it again because they probably just don't care as much. It doesn't mean that they is not accurate or whatever, but I think that because of our personality type, we care more. So we are more visible. And that's my theory because for other people it's just, I mean, oh, that's interesting. Okay, bye.
You know? I very much agree. I very much agree, like being an INFJ means that you are looking for this like belonging and you look to like find something that makes you see like, oh, I'm not alone in this. Like, and yeah. So we are attracted to this type of quizzes or tests or just like psychology even. And And also the fact, like the kind of work that we do and the kind of people we hang out with. Because I think it's also something that very much belongs to someone who has their own business and someone who's a creative. And I think later in the episode, we're going to get a bit more into that. But that just makes us meet a lot of other INFJs as well. And I just wanted wanted to go over the individual letters and explain what they mean. Okay, so the I is for introverted and for intuitive. And so when you take the test, you're either introverted or extroverted. And so that determines your first letter. Then the second is like intuitive or observant. And so we are on the intuitive side. Then there's thinking against feeling. And so we are on the feeling side, that's the F. And then there's judging or prospecting, and we are on the judging side, that's the J. And then there's also the identity, which can be assertive or turbulent. I don't know if you know which one you are.
I am a T, turbulent. Do you know what you are? You too?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so for a second there.
To the T, fam, with both of us. And so that was funny because I sent, the first time I took the Myers-Briggs personality test was back in 2017, shortly after I had started my business. I started a mentorship the summer of 2017, and one of the first things when you were applying to the mentorship was that you had to take the test at 16personalities.com and submit your results. And I thought that was so interesting. And so I made it to the mentorship and I worked with the mentor for a while. Her name is Jana. And I got to learn that she actually asked that of everyone that she worked with, like if anybody was going to join her team, if anybody was going to be on the mentorship, if she had a new client, their Myers-Briggs personality test was part of what she asked for. And I thought that was so smart because it really helps you understand a person. It's like whether the person believes in it or not, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Like astrology, but like with science. Like it doesn't matter if you believe in it or not. If I believe in it, and for me it works, because I can like kind of know how to deal with someone if I know what their personality is like.
Yeah, and also so I have at some point, because I took it around that, I don't know, I think it was 2017. Because I remember you sent it to me and I took it and I read the whole, because there is a lot of science behind it. So I don't think we can get into all of it. I have read some, I don't remember. I have terrible memory. There is like a science behind it. And one of the reasons I think is so accurate is because it doesn't really put you like in, like there are 16 groups. So if you are I, there are going to be like at least three, I think, other groups that are going to be the same as you are, you know? So not the same, but similar. Okay, you will relate to all other groups in one letter or other. There will be very few groups in which you have nothing in common. So it's about preference, you know? So I thought it was really interesting. It's more accurate than other personality tests. So I have sent it to people who don't believe in them. And I say like just take it and you'll see. And even if people don't really care about them. Exactly, even if people don't really believe in them or whatever, they'll be like, oh, wow. Very few people are like, yeah, I don't know, you know, not so much and stuff like that. But that's really interesting. I really think there's like a science behind it. And I was fascinated by it when I took it. Although I've always liked, this kind of test, like they tell you about yourself and stuff like that. But this one, I was just amazed. And my cousin, when he started working at this company, I can't remember when, he told me that they had him take the test at the beginning of his, you know, when he started working there. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. I mean, I bet it's like a different level in the test. They probably pay for it and they have different names for the different groups. But it was really interesting to me to see that they would use it in such a professional level, you know, for like big companies and stuff like that. So, you know, if someone hasn't taken it or they're interested, they, you know, they could do a little research and then take it and tell us how you do.
I think it really helps you because, like, there's a lot of things. I feel like it's a very common thing to think, especially if you are, like, have letters similar to ours, or you think, like, oh, man, I'm probably weird and I'm the only one who does this. And then you actually, like, read about them, like, oh, my gosh, there's, like, this group of people that, like, does do this too. I'm not alone. And so it gives you, I don't know, it's like a feeling of, like, of belonging, and also a feeling of like, hey, I'm not as weird as I thought I was, or like, we're all weird together. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think there's like a legend on the, when you go to 16 personality test, something like the website, the first thing you see, free personality test, there's, no, it's not on this one, but it's just something like, I love the feeling of being understood or something like that. And it's so funny because you feel understood. Mm-hmm. And I think we were talking about this when we discussed journaling. I think that being an entrepreneur, or like just having your own business and working on it, it's really a process of growth, you know, and on the business side, but also like it's the personal growth is to me is like the biggest reward. And I have found that I have become more self-aware, and I've been working on understanding myself better so I can work better ever since I started my business. So this really helps, you know, understanding certain things about myself. It really helps me, you know, set goals and achieve them and, you know, be goal driven and whatever.
And the way to do it, and like I said, like, I am very attracted to this type of, like, personality tests that are actually based on psychology, even if, like, they are mm-hmm. not 100% scientifically accurate, they're still such a good guide. And so I've taken several ones, like, for different aspects of, like, there's one that's specific to, like, how you achieve your goals and things like that. But it is true, like, just, like, it helps you. Mm-hmm. It helps you find your priorities, and like, it helps you not, I don't know how to explain, like, not to struggle trying to be something that you're not, because sometimes we mm-hmm. think we're supposed to be certain things, and this helps you understand, like, you don't have to, you can just embrace this and it's gonna work anyways. I'm trying to find, I should have looked that up before. Famous people who are also INFJs.
Oh yeah, you have to go to the personality types, diplomats, advocate.
Okay, because we are diplomats.
I got
right?
it.
Okay.
Advocates.
Advocates, that's the one. Wait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, diplomats is like the whole group, and we're like advocates within the diplomats. True.
Oh yes, I think you're right. Yeah. We're diplomats and then we're advocates, INFJ. I love that we're green in, you know, in this, the color.
We're Slytherin. Well, I'm Slytherin. You're not Slytherin.
I'm not Slytherin, but, so whatever.
No, because something I wanted to say, okay, so I remember seeing this the first time, and because I think 2017 is kind of when I started my journey towards, well, I started my business. And so, like, I was doing design, but I knew I also had other things I wanted to care about. And around 2018 was when I started to, like, work on kind of my, like, the introverted aspect of me and, like, how I could use it. I read this book, Quiet. It's something like The Power of Introverts in a World That Doesn't Know How to Shut Up, something like that. That's not the exact wording, but something like that. And I loved it. It's like a book all about introverts. And I started embracing the fact that as an introvert, you don't have to be just like the quiet person. Like, that's not what it means. And that as an introvert, you mm-hmm. can achieve great things, and you can be great. You can be a great leader. You can do amazing things. It's just the way that you do them, the way that you achieve them, and the way that you get that energy to be able to achieve those things. And when I saw that people like Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, mm-hmm. like they are in, they were in our INFJs. And seeing mm-hmm. that, I was like, oh, wow.
Like, I know.
Not to be. There's like Lady Gaga, Morgan Freeman, Aragorn. Like, I'm like,
Matthew Murdock. Cool. Daredevil is an INFJ. That is so cool. I had forgotten about that one.
We got to him. And I think it's so cool because it just goes to show that what we achieve in life, like, it doesn't matter if you're like a quiet, thoughtful person, because that's actually mm-hmm. your strength to be able to achieve great things. And that was kind of like the kick off in my journey to like convince me that I could do more than just design and be like the designer that's just doing what everybody's telling me to do, kind of a thing. I mm-hmm. think it was very empowering to find that out.
Mm-hmm. Two things that happened to me when I understood what it meant to be an introvert and then that I was an introvert, you know, like what it really means, was because I don't know about you, like I've always been introverted, but I'm not necessarily like antisocial. Mm-hmm. And there was a time in my life where I would like enjoy like social gatherings a lot and go out a lot. It would always be very exhausting, but I would do it because, I mean, you like spending time with your friends, right? If they're like good friends. But whenever I was like tired or I didn't want to go or I was like exhausted from work, when I would like actually go and work with people, and I worked taking calls in customer service for a long time, which I hated. Because if there is anything that's draining, is that it's, oh my gosh, that's, it's like bad. I mean, I just, are you kidding? It was bad. And then after that, after having those jobs for a while, I didn't really want to go out and stuff like that. And people don't really mean to, but they kind of make you feel guilty if you don't want to socialize or go out and have fun. And so I would feel bad. I would feel like there was something wrong with me. And there was. I was being drained of my energy at work. But it, you know, once I understood that, it's just, you know, it helps me to be by myself and recharge. And, you know, I have a better, well, in my social life, I have a better balance, you know. I know when, you know, when being alone is good for me. And then after a while of recharging, I am so ready to, I don't know, hang out with a couple of friends for a little bit or something like that. Like I feel better about it and I feel like I can enjoy it more, you know, without, because then I would go out and just feel bad the whole time. You know, I would love my friends, but it would just be like feeling bad. And then I would be like sensitive or I don't know. It was also like a hard time. And another thing is discovering what kind of job was good for me, you know? So being an entrepreneur is kind of great. Because I don't get to go to, well, there is something deeper in that because I'm doing something that I love and it gives meaning to my life, which is also part of what our personality needs. But just, you know, working by myself and then not having to deal with people's emotions all day long has changed my life. Like, I feel like I don't hate what I do anymore because all my other jobs, and I never meant to be ungrateful, but I hated every other job I've had, even if it was a good job. Oh, and I was teaching for a while. I was teaching for a long time too. And even though it's really rewarding, you deal with emotions of people's all day long. And you have to be, you have to be positive and you have to be patient. And doing that was even worse than customer service to me. I would be drained of all my energy by the end of the day. So understanding that and then just, you know, looking at my experience with other kinds of jobs has opened my eyes to what is probably like my best option to, you know, to be fulfilled and satisfied and not hate myself and the people around me for the rest of my life.
No,
yeah, it's a little exaggerated.
Relatable. Because you hear so often, like sometimes when you like tell someone like, yeah, I'm an introvert, they're like, oh no, but you're like very friendly, like you're very social, like that's not what an introvert being is about. Sometimes people assume, like people always say like, oh yeah, like introverts hate crowds. Well, we hate certain crowds. We hate crowds when there's like no meaning to it. I was using this example, and I'm actually just wearing here my Salt Lake Comic Con that's actually no longer called like that
you.
Anymore. But I was just talking because as an introvert, I actually love going to the conventions. And yes, they are super crowded, and that doesn't mean I hate them. It just means that I need to like prepare 2 days ahead of time, and then 2 days after, not do like anything with anyone and just stay at home. But that doesn't mean that I hate them. It just means that I know myself, and I know it's gonna drain me, so I prepare myself for it. Or if I have some sort of networking event that's coming up, like I like actually going to networking events. I just need to like prepare real well. And what I did prepare real well is that whenever I have an appointment or multiple appointments, my whole day is structured around those appointments. So for example, the Tuesdays that we do podcasting, like my whole day is structured around the podcast, because I know that's like when I need to go up and I need to give my energy and I need to be ready for it. But that's what it means. Like a lot of people think, like people that like who knew me from like classes or things like that, think like I'm like this like very shy, quiet girl, because that's just like how I usually act in front of people, where I'm like, that see me in those type of places, like in big groups, classrooms or things like that. But ask my husband, I'm not a quiet girl.
I can be
very chatty. Like I actually, that's why we have this podcast. Pam and I love to talk. We love to talk when we have like topics that we're passionate about. So we make the time to come and intentionally put our energy towards that. I was going to say something else. You were talking about. Oh, and another thing that we do as INFJs, and some other groups do this too, but it's the fact that we often put other people's needs in front of ours. And that's why we give in to people, like, for example, like you said, like your friends making you feel bad and you going along because you want your friends to feel good. Like that's part of what we do. We're naturally like wanting to like make people feel better. And then that ends up draining us even more, actually, because like not only are we doing something that takes energy, but it goes against what we want, like what we actually want to do and what our body actually needs. And so that's why that happens. But just I feel like learning to understand how all of this goes helps so much in just like planning how you're gonna go through life. Like it makes so much more sense for me now, several things.
Yeah, for sure. Also, what you were saying about conventions, I think it's if it's something that we're passionate about, because I think one of the reasons why introverts are exhausted after like social interaction, I think, and some people, like I've heard people don't believe in that, but I really do think that certain activities can drain like your energy, and not only like physical but emotional. So when we do a lot of social interactions or like big crowds for a long time, we're simply exhausted, because we kind of like absorb other people's emotions, you know, whatever they may be. And an example of that is in 2019, there was a concert here in Costa Rica that I was really excited about, and I think I hadn't been to a concert for 1 or 2 years. It was big. It was Foo Fighters. And it was, I don't think, they hadn't been in Costa Rica for a long time. And I went with my cousin and my brother-in-law, and we were really excited. But when we got there, I think it was the first time I went to like such a big event. Well, I mean, apart from the convention, but within a concert, like everybody's looking at the same thing at the same time and you can kind of see the whole crowd. And just getting there, I was excited, but I could feel the excitement. Like I could touch it. And then that got me all like, you know, and then I was so happy and I had a great time. But then I slept a lot the next day because it was really draining, but it was good. It was amazing. But just like feeling that, just the excitement coming from everywhere, that was cool, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, it can be a good thing too. It can be a good thing too. And it's also taught me. Yeah, and then you learn to choose your crowds too, because it is more important. Sometimes people will drain you because there's a lot of negative talk or because people like to complain a lot and stuff like that. And I find that to me, for my own well-being and my business, I need to, there's certain people that I avoid spending so much time with or that I avoid completely because sometimes people can do that to you. But that only comes from understanding. And you were saying that, and I was, so really, if anybody's interested, just go and watch a bunch of videos. It's a rabbit hole, people, but it's interesting. So one of the videos I was watching mentions what you said, that we usually put other people's needs before our own. A lot of people are like that, but that we hate to make others feel bad, to make other people unhappy. And that is so true. It's not that I need to please everybody, but I hate being the one that makes other people feel bad. I don't feel like there's an excuse to do that, you know, like unnecessarily. So it's easy to feel guilty when you're not being like everybody else or going to all these other places. So I agree, it's the same experience. It's been really eye-opening to kind of just give yourself some space to decompress and recharge and stuff like that.
And it's not that other personality types like making people feel bad. It's just that they don't think about it. That it's not just part of what like in our head, I feel like uh-huh. the first thing, like, oh, but how will I make her feel if I say that or if I do that or if I... And then, or after, I feel like, oh, I wonder if what I said, like, hurt her, or, like, and then, uh-huh. like, I keep making things about something that the person maybe not didn't even realize, and I'm, like, up at night, like, oh, my gosh, what about this? Okay, when I logged into the 16 personalities type this morning, it said, inside of the day, advocates are the most likely personality type to have trouble sleeping the night before a big event. And I haven't read that inside yet, and I'm, like, that explains my whole life. I hate having appointments.
For real.
The earlier, the worse, because I keep waking up like every hour. I keep dreaming that I'm late. Mm-hmm. Talking about concerts, the first time I was gonna go to a bigger concert, I was staying, I had a sleepover with a friend and then we were gonna go together. And I didn't sleep. Like I had like this little concern. I think it's like I didn't have a jacket or something like that. And my friend's like, oh, I'll just lend you my jacket. Like, we'll be fine. I dreamt all night that I didn't have a jacket, so I couldn't go to the concert. Like, and that was like 9 years ago. And I still remember that dream, you know, like.
I just thought, like, it's so funny.
That is so relatable.
That is so true. That is so relatable. A month ago, I had my first in-person workshop. Mm-hmm. In over a year, and I had done this before, you know, and it's fun, and I know I can do it well. I was prepared. I went to bed really late just working on a bunch of things. I had, of course, a to-do list, you know, to check and whatever. I was ready. I slept so poorly. It was so, I was like, this is ridiculous. I am so tired and I couldn't sleep. Even yesterday I had a nightmare about okay, this is a little embarrassing. Next month on the 7th, I am planning on traveling. And now I'm really nervous about COVID. Mm-hmm. Because I have to take a test before I leave. And I can't test positive. And last night, we're talking about a month in advance. I had a dream for some reason that I was positive.
You're gonna have a
and I woke up month. And I was like, I know this can't happen. I need to find a way to relax. But yeah, like big events kind of just give you anxiety.
Meditation and some oils in your pillow. I don't know.
Yeah, that's I know, reading. Yeah, but yeah, I can relate.
It's just so funny. And that's what I love about it, because like you don't even need to look for conversation topics. Like if you are an INFJ and you find another INFJ, you can just like, oh yeah, so this, and we're like, oh my gosh, that's so relatable. And that's how you start a conversation with another INFJ. A conversation that actually has like a lot of meaning. Because that's another thing. Like we're not that good at like just like random chit chat. We like talking about like the real stuff. And with the real stuff, I mean,
I am
like,
terrible.
Sam and I are talking about like books that we're reading and TV shows and
of course.
And so deep. Well, we
what
get
else
so
is real?
Deep.
Yeah. Sorry. No, well, no, I'm not sorry. But if anybody ever has to listen to us, sorry, not sorry. Yeah, I'm terrible at that. Well, I'm really bad at it. Even at this age, I avoid small talk at all costs. I don't like running into people I haven't seen in a long time, because, and it's easy. I know small talk is easy. It just, it doesn't come natural to me. And it's worse. It's worse, you know, after several years. But I agree. I think we like, when it comes to making connections, we like them to be like deep and meaningful, you know, not just like on the surface, because it's not very good.
Whenever I find myself being like, so isn't it so nice, the weather outside, it's finally warm, or like, oh my gosh, we finally got some snow, on the inside I'm like, I can't believe I'm talking about the weather, this is awful, why? Every single time I'm talking about the weather, that's how I'm feeling inside. But that's like my go-to,
really?
Because I don't know what else to say.
Well, but you know what, yeah, me too. But then I realized I always like to talk about the weather. Like I'm genuinely interested. So that's my go-to conversation when I take an Uber. And they probably think like, oh, here she goes, she's gonna talk about the weather. And I do, I talk about it for about 5 to 10 minutes. But it's a good topic. I care about the weather. But yeah, that's probably my only small talk topic.
Well, we just have to like take it to a next level. Like, you know, like next time I find myself talking about the weather, I'll be like, yeah, climate change is crazy, right? And then we can get into that other topic.
Yeah.
Like,
I know, we should probably do that.
Utah, climate change.
You want to go deep? Do that. But seriously, though, in like the weather is so crazy. Costa Rica is cold. This past month, I know it's nothing like Utah right now and other places.
No, yesterday I actually was out in a t-shirt, so.
Really? I was freezing yesterday. I was freezing. I was wearing two bottoms, pajama bottoms, during the day. That's crazy. But anyhow, I was wondering,
it's real.
I have a question for you. What aspects of being an INFJ do you feel have a negative impact in your not life, well yeah, but you like your work life, your business, how you handle things?
Okay, actually there's quite a couple things I can think of. For example, the fact that I am very much on the feeling side instead of the thinking side. When I'm doing some work, I am doing it because it feels right, but it's hard to explain why.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I've had clients where they're like, oh, but what about if we do this? And I'm like, I feel like this is the right thing to do, but I don't have an explanation of why. And so I can tell them like, no, we have to do this because of this. And it's a bit frustrating. I have to learn how to convey that better. Because I've even had it where clients, like, I go and do what the client says, and then the client's like, no, you know, like, let's go back to that first thing that you had said, like, you were right. But, like, I'm like, how can I tell people, like, just trust me, I'm right. I guess I should just, like, tell them, like, that's my expertise. I know it's right, but I feel like I need to have a reasoning behind, and I don't know how to do that. So I think that's one.
I think that you do know, it's just you need a minute to think about it, you know? This guy,
sometimes
I watched. No, but eventually it comes to you. Don't you find that, like, if even like while you're doing it, it's like you
Well, no,
suddenly
I
know
know that
why.
I'm doing it right, but I don't know how to explain to my client why it's the right way. Like, I don't know how to tell them, like, this font is gonna be better because, like, this other font, like, they like it more. It's not a bad font either, but I don't know how to explain to them that this is the one that's gonna look well. And then, yeah.
Even if you knew, they might not understand the reasoning behind, like, a designer's mind too. So yeah, this guy was in one of his videos, he was saying that INFJs have a hard time giving examples, like explaining things. Like, maybe you have like a really good point, but then people are like, oh yeah, so give me an example, and you're like, and that is so real.
That is
That's
another to
true.
mention it, yes.
I think that's exactly what you're talking about.
When I try to come up with an example on the spot, it's usually a pretty bad example. Like if I have time to think about it, I can probably come up with something good, but if it's on the spot,
I know, but that used to happen
Embarrassing.
to me. Well, it happens to me a lot, but when I was teaching, it was bad. They would
Oh.
always want examples, and I would be like, it was embarrassing. So yeah. But yeah, that's one of the things. I also think another trait of being an INFJ that can be challenging is being a perfectionist, or being like too much on the ideal side. Well, and I think it affects us especially in the area that we're in, design, and like just
Design
when you
is
have to
already
design
made
things
up of a
yourself.
lot of perfectionist people. No
It's
matter what
bad.
type of personality
Like,
you are usually.
I know. I've heard this a lot, and it's really good to relate. Because sometimes I feel like it's just me bringing myself down. But I you've probably heard about this on like different podcasts, or like other, like when you hear other designers talking about it. But sometimes our perfectionism, it's hard, because especially when you're like advancing on skill, or whatever you're doing, like design, or maybe you're drawing, or in my case it's like lettering and stuff like that. When you're you become better as you make things and you practice, even if you have experience, you advance on your, like, you're on a higher level now than you were when you started, that's for
There's
sure.
always growth, yeah.
Exactly. Thank you. And because usually designers or artists or whatever have really good taste,
You would have
sometimes
hoped
you
so.
that would be nice. It would be very useful. But when you have like good taste and your work doesn't really match that taste you have, like, how good it should be, or it could be, or like you picture in your head, then it's very normal for you to think that your work is not good enough. And then if you are an INFJ, that's really hard too, because then you want everything to be perfect all the time. So to me, that's one of the things that has affected me the most in my work, when I'm designing, or doing lettering, or even for like myself. Being a perfectionist, it has really affected me, and I think I'm still working on that.
I find that very interesting because I'm getting flashbacks from school where like because like as designers we can visualize things very easily in our heads. Like someone tells us like, oh yeah, for this project you're gonna need to do this and this and this, and in my head I'm already seeing how things come together. And it was so frustrating when I could not make it look like that picture in my head. Yes, and
Very much so.
I've gotten better at it. I feel like perfectionism is like it's still there, but it's not as big as it was several years ago for me because it's something that I learned to recognize and work on. But yeah, like I can like even now like oh I have this great idea and now I have more tools to make them come true. But I feel like back when I was in school, I just felt like I was tied up. Like I want to create these things, and I don't know how to do it. And so I can very much relate to that. And like as you were saying that, I was just like thinking of all these different projects in my head, like, oh yeah, I never managed to make that look like I wanted, or that one, or that one. Very true. Oh wow.
I know. And it's good to make progress and to recognize it. Because I was reading about toxic perfectionism, where I remember, like, if you said you were a perfectionist, it would be like a good thing, like in a job interview. But I feel like you can take it too far very easily. And I think I'm still going through a phase. I am very aware of it, but I'm still going through a phase where I know I have made progress, because it's been like a little over 2 years. And the other day I made a lettering piece that I really liked. And for the first time, I actually used it on my phone because I liked it. You know, I had never done that before because everything I make is like, oh, you know, that's, I mean, I don't say this to people because I think it's, I don't know what the word is. But I think it's just weird to just put yourself down and, you know, criticize your work all the time, you know? But this time I was really satisfied and I was like, oh, you know, that's a first. So I think I have made progress, but you should be careful not to let it like go too far, because then you can waste energy and time. And then you create like this block for yourself where you're not letting yourself make any progress, because you do have to, words have flown away. You do have to accept the progress that you have made in order to, you know, keep on getting better and improving. So yeah, that's my input.
And I feel like that's very related to the type of life we're in today, where people are always comparing themselves to what they see on social media. I feel like as INFJs and perfectionists, like, we're probably very likely to fall into that trap, because we feel like they are doing this and it looks perfect, and like my feet doesn't look perfect, kind of, like things like that. Like, I feel like there's so many like little traps where we could fall. So yeah, that's why I think that's how I actually started working a lot on like realizing my perfectionism problems, was when I started getting into Instagram a couple of years ago, and then having to get out of that and see things from another perspective because it was being so unhealthy.
Yeah, it can be very unhealthy.
Experience now.
Yeah, and also there is a part, I wanted to read it, but I couldn't find it, where they say that, just like the articles, where they talk about like the personalities after you take the test, INFJs are like really attracted to like beauty, and like a pretty person, just like beauty everywhere. Like, we find like pretty things to be like, that to me, like if I find something to be beautiful, it just kind of fills me up with this emotion, and just life makes sense. And it's just, I don't know what it is, but it's worth living, you know? So if you're like, you have any visual output that you're putting out there, if you're a designer, or like I'm a lettering artist, it's also hard, because then you want everything to make people feel the same way. But, you know, I think that that's part of it too. And I really do appreciate like a...
Oh, go ahead.
I forgot.
You were saying that you really appreciate how...
Oh, I really appreciate like cohesive and just like satisfying feeds on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go through them. So sometimes I pressure myself to do the same, and for me it's really hard. So that's one of the things where I see that thing, you know, that trait.
What I was gonna say, like, that probably explains why I like to surround myself by things that I think are cute and pretty, like cute bookmarks, or like just like I right now, because I'm like in a temporary situation, I don't have my usual setup, but like I usually have like cork board full of like little things, that like cards from friends and cute little stickers, mm-hmm. and things like that, like, because those kind of things make me happy. Or cute socks. Let's see if I can. Cute socks.
Are you wearing cute socks? Yeah, are those hedgehogs? Oh, cute. cute, very cute.
And so, like, I just like being surrounded by those kind of things. Like, I feel like they're little details, but they make my day better and they inspire me somehow.
I know, I agree. I agree. It's a feeling. Okay. Is there anything? Go on. I just had a question.
No, I just want to say, like, we only have, like, some, like, 5-10 minutes left.
You're right.
This has gone very quickly. I feel like we could talk so much more. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on about INFJs?
No, I think I said everything that that I wanted to say. I think it's kind of cool to be an INFJ. Just because I think being aware, like self-aware and understanding oneself is part of our personality. And that has really helped me grow in the last few years. So I don't know. I think it's really cool and probably one of the reasons I like to talk about it a lot.
I know. I just wanted to touch lastly on like workplace habits. There's an article on workplace habits in the 6 personalities page, and I wanted to read a bit about it. It says, advocates, INFJs, have some specific needs when it comes to a dissatisfying work environment. People with this personality type want to know that their work helps people and promotes their own personal growth. So like we were talking about personal growth.
Uh-huh.
It means that their work must be in line with their values, principles, and beliefs. In the workplace, advocates tend to thrive when they have opportunities to express their creativity and insight, and they're especially motivated when they know that they're doing what they're doing has meaning. They also tend to do best when they can ignore workplace politics and hierarchies and simply do what matters to them. Most people with this personality type prefer not to think of themselves as above or below anyone else, no matter where they are in the job ladder. Fortunately, advocates are resourceful and creative, and they can find ways to make nearly any position work for them. But like all of this, I'm like, yeah, that's why so many of us, I think, end up with our own business. Because we want to be able to align to like what is really important to us. And we want to be able to like not have to worry about, like workplace politics, hierarchies, trying to like, go up the work ladder in a company. Like that's not like what we want to do is like we want to create awesome work and work that like means to us.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why a lot of introverts end up doing being entrepreneurs,
and I think like online entrepreneurs especially
mostly
because it gives us that freedom.
There's another section under this type, the advocate, the INFJ, under career path, and it talks about a sense of mission. And then just a little line from it says, to be truly happy, however, they need to find work that aligns with their values and allows them some independence. So advocates crave opportunities to learn and grow alongside the people they are helping. So I don't know. This also tells me a lot about myself because this whole, you know, when you're working for somebody else and when you're in like on the ladder, somebody's your manager or subordinate or whatever, this is just like a waste of energy to me. You know, just the way you have to behave and everything. Not that I was ever a bad employee. I was really great. But I don't know. I was never happy or fulfilled. Whereas if you have a mission that aligns with you perfectly, AKA you have a business, you know, your own business where you can have your own mission, I think that's where you can find the most fulfillment. It's not for every INFJ, but I think in our case, we can relate to that deeply.
Yeah, because like you can also find the job where people give you the freedom to just like do your part. You're just not going to be interested in like going up the ladder. You just want to like be able to be left alone or... And another job that like people have told me maybe I would have been good at and that I saw listed is like a psychologist or like a therapist. And I can see that like you can be creative, you can just do your own thing. No one's gonna come and tell you like you have to use this type of therapy. Like it doesn't even have to be like a creative field. as long as you can be creative about the way that you fulfill your job.
Ooh, there is something else I want to say now that you mentioned that. Okay, so I agree. You would have made a great psychologist. And I think one of the reasons it's because, well, you're very sensitive, but I also feel, and there is, this is another trait that is common on INFJs, and I also like see this in myself, because we are intuitive, and we're always looking for patterns everywhere. We are supposed to be good at reading people. I mean, it's not like you can tell the future or just like tell why someone feels a certain way. I mean, yeah, we're not like Sherlock Holmes. Are you? I mean, it's not like that. It's not like magic or like, you know, crazy, like telling what people are feeling or thinking or what they did. But there is, you know, there is like, it's easier to, if you can observe a person and by certain patterns, you know, and things they do and say, or even like your intuition, you can read people. And that's probably one of the reasons why you would make a good psychologist. I think you're a great listener and you also get very, very good advice. You know, what you do is very accurate. So yeah, I agree. You know,
I feel like as INFJs, we are good listeners, just like naturally. And that's what helps us be like good readers, like of people, because I feel like just by listening to someone, you can like listen more than just what they're telling you. You can like really like hear like what they're struggling with beyond and more. And I've met quite a couple of INFJs that people just like open up to them for no reason.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time.
I just like talk to them and like suddenly they're like pouring all their feelings and I'm like, I barely know you, but I'm gonna try to help you. Like in my case, I'm always like, I've never been very confident about advice that I give, especially if it's not my expertise. When it comes to design, I feel a bit more confident there. But if it's like life experiences, I'm like, I don't know. But I kind of like, what became my motto was like, I'm not that great at giving advice, but I'm a good listener. And people would come and just like pour out their feelings. And I'm like, wow, like, I don't even know what's causing this, but I'm glad you trust me and I hope I can help you. But yeah, it's something interesting.
And half the time people really do want just to be heard. They just kind of want to vent or maybe like, you know, and that it's helpful too. This happened to me. Like people I barely know, they will just come to you with like these really personal things and you're like, oh, what do I do? you know, but sometimes all people need our support. And I was thinking that knowing how to read people and, you know, being like also wanting to avoid anybody feeling bad and stuff like that can be helpful when you're interacting with whoever you have to interact with in your business, you know, clients, or, you know, I have students when I teach workshops and stuff like that. It helps you too, to have like a better report, like a better relationship with them, and then provide a better service where, you know, you put like the emotional aspect into it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I hadn't gone through this like report in years, probably since I first took it a while ago,
you know,
years ago. But going through it and thinking about the rebrand that I've done recently, I feel like so much of it sounds like so similar, because it talks about connection. It talks about aligning your values with your life. And I'm like, oh my gosh, people are gonna think I just like came this and like grabbed all these ideas and put them in my brand voice. But actually, like, no, I'm actually surprised at reading it and being like, oh wow, I guess that means I'm doing it correctly. Because
we talk
together.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I think we probably have to wrap up now, but this has been a really good conversation. Maybe in the future we can bring like designers that are other types or something like that. It would be interesting to compare our journeys to theirs, if they're very different types. Like, I feel like this could give us a lot of episodes to talk about, but yeah, I hope people found that as interesting as we did.
I know, and you know, if anybody that's listening hasn't taken the test, I suggest that you do, because it can help you understand certain things about how you, you know, run your business, if you have a business, or, you know, manage certain things in your life. And it's really cool to feel understood.
So I really would love to know that, like, people that listen to this, like, go to our Instagram on our next post that's going to be about this episode, and just tell us about it. Like, tell us what your personality type is and how it has tied to what you do as a profession. I think that'd be very interesting to read about. Pam, what are you recommending to us today?
So I would like to recommend, I was working on a wedding invitation recently, and let me see if I have the name of it. I want to recommend a brush pack for Procreate. All right, I'll probably just link it somewhere on Anchor or somewhere. I think I can share it on Instagram. It's called Aquareal. So it's like a watercolor brush pack by Lisa Glantz. She's like an amazing illustrator, and she does a lot of like Lisa digital. I know, her work is so cute. I love it. And I was looking for watercolor brushes awesome. Because it's like goals, right? And then I admire her so much. And when I found out she had, I had recently subscribed to her newsletter. And then I think this is fairly recent. This brush pack came out recently. And it has like a bunch of blending brushes, stamps for like, and it comes with a tutorial for like leaves and flowers and stuff like that. It's really cool. So it teaches you how to use it. It's amazing. It's so easy to use. And I feel like compared to other brush packs that I've seen, because there are a lot, if you use Procreate, you will know that there are infinite brushes out there. Like infinite. It's crazy, Sarah. I mean, I want to spend all my money on brushes. That's what I want to do. And I have bought several. And they're usually like packs. So you don't only brush buy one. You buy like packs of like, and they come with tutorials and just extras, and everybody's amazing. And this one I think has a very real watercolor feel to it, so I recommend it. Look it up, and I will link it somewhere, probably share on Instagram, so you can try it out if you do use Procreate at all.
Okay, that's a pretty good one. Yeah, I think you showed me last week, right? Yeah, it was last week that we had a mastermind call, and you were showing me those brushes were so nice. Like, they looked, she was showing me her iPad, but if she like put it close enough where you couldn't see the frame, it just looked like watercolor painted on like watercolor paper. I know. It was really cool.
Amazing. Yeah. So yeah, check it out. What's your recommendation?
Okay. I have a recommendation about a person and her business. Her name is Britt Kahlo. I first heard about her, I think it was like 2018-ish. And she is a marketing specialist, and she helps people market themselves based on their Myers-Briggs personality type. So I saw her at a conference, and since then I've seen her multiple times at different conferences talking about how to do certain things in your marketing plan based on your personality type. And it's really awesome. Like, It's she uses the Myers-Briggs personality types and divides them and then just like gives individual advice on like, if you're this and this, then this will work better for you. And the whole idea is she talks about like doing marketing that feels good with you. It doesn't make you feel salesy. It makes you feel that you're being yourself, because she's using this. And so she has this page called marketingpersonalities.com. And you can just go and choose your personality type, and it's going to give you some advice. And then from there, you can like buy another, like a more in-depth assessment and things like that. But that's actually where I got the recommendation for the book Quiet, after reading my report as an INFJ. And I feel like that's been like a big thing that has helped me with my marketing. So I started realizing that things that I tried to do because everybody was doing them, so I thought I had to do them. When I read this like the report, I'm like, oh, I don't need to do those things. Like, I have to focus on the things that I feel good doing, and they're gonna attract the kind of people that I want to work with. They're not gonna work for everyone, but they're gonna work for the people that are gonna be a good fit to work with me, because my marketing is gonna represent me. And so, thanks to her, I like changed a lot of things. For example, I always used to feel really bad that my newsletters were very long. I'm like, no one probably reads those long newsletters or anything like that. Because of her assessment, I learned that long form content is actually what like one of the things that works best for me. And so I'm like, okay, then I'll continue doing my long newsletters without being apologetic this time, just like truly just like letting it out there. Mm-hmm. And she also was like the first part where I saw that she recommended to people with my type for a podcast. And so that's when I first got the idea of like, oh, a podcast would be interesting, because I guess I could have conversations that I otherwise can't have on social media. Like, they're too long to be anywhere else. So it would have to be like a video or a podcast, which is what we're doing here now. So I really recommend her. She changed my life.
Yay.
Like marketingpersonalities.com. If you're an online business and you're looking to find a way to do marketing that feels better with you, taking the Myers-Briggs test and then looking at this website will help you. And then both Pam and I had another recommendation that's not related to this at all, but is like amazing. Everybody, if you have Disney Plus, you have to watch WandaVision.
Yeah, so I only started. I've only seen 3 episodes, but I'm struck. I love it. It's really good. I can't wait to finish it.
I watched the first episode and I just remember being like, I'm so confused. What is going on?
I know. But at the same time, it was good.
Yeah, like I figured like, I'm like, something's gonna happen, right? Right? This is gonna tie back, right? But like, I always second doubt myself. So I'm like, maybe not. Maybe this is meant to be weird. Like, no, but no, something's gonna happen, right? I don't know. But then I continued watching and I was like, I think it's like in about episode 4, I think. I don't know if 3 already, but maybe 4, where like you start seeing more of like what's happening and how things are connected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last week was the season finale. Gosh, last week was amazing.
I'm so excited. Recommend people. Watch it if you can.
Yeah. Also, now that WandaVision finished, Falcon and the Winter Soldier is starting. And I'm excited for that one too.
Really? What's the name of it?
Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It starts, I think, next week. And then in 2 months, that finishes and Loki starts.
Oh,
Disney has a whole
plan. Okay, no, I can't wait.
Disney's going to keep us like every week looking for a new episode.
Well, that's kind of cool. I'm not complaining.
In these uncertain times that we're living through, it's nice to know with a certainty that there will be a new episode of some Marvel TV show happening every week.
I know, and that it's going to be good, hopefully.
Yeah. All right, what we are up to. I'm gonna begin. I've had some crazy weeks working on my website. There was just like the weirdest problem that no one knew why it's happening. No one could really help me much. Just Saturday alone, I spent 7 hours between troubleshooting and talking to support and trying to make things work. And that's without counting. Is that counting Friday? No, I don't think that's counting Friday. Friday were some more hours than that as well. But finally, we did something, and like we had to like restart a lot of stuff, and our website is on its way. Because for the past month, we haven't been able to work on it just because we've had like this issue, and I hadn't had the time to work on getting the issue fixed until this last weekend that I took a lot of hours to finally work on it. So Saturday night, I actually sat down just to actual work on design and content, like I was meant to a month ago. And my website will hopefully be done in the next week. And I'm really excited about that.
You must be.
It's
It's
such a
been,
long journey.
I know. But yay.
I'm just glad that's happening to me and not to a client, because that'd be even worse. Like that's a pro like it's a problem that no one really like has control on. No one really understands why it's happening. It's like in the migration from one hosting to another, something got corrupted and it's causing this big issue that's like making the website take too many resources from the hosting. And so like the hosting like wanted to shut us down, and like it was a nightmare. And I'm glad it's over. So I'm really glad about
Yeah.
that. And yeah, it's gonna be awesome. So look forward to that new website for Stargate Studio. And then I'll be
Yay,
able
that's gonna be
to
an
focus on the
exciting
other
day.
websites I need to finish, like the Two Chicas in the Side website. That one also will hopefully be done before the end of this month.
Oh, I'm so excited about that. Yeah,
Like
we'll talk
website
about that.
building. I don't like website
You can tell.
troubleshooting, but I do it when I have to.
Yeah, for sure.
What are you up to, Pam?
I am honestly in the last few days I've been catching up on sleep because I had trouble sleeping last week. I think I was just kind of going through a little burnout. I probably talked about this. And so I'm feeling a lot better, really motivated. I am holding a workshop on the 20th, so I'm getting ready for that. The cool thing is I'm used to it now, so you know it doesn't really I don't have trouble sleeping over that anymore, I don't think. And I'm picking up the 100-day challenge that I kind of just dropped it for a bit. I'm really excited. I haven't been able to do it every single day, but I'm really striving to because I'm just really motivated to do so. I found like some quotes that I want to letter that are just really giving me life. So that's helping a lot. And just doing a lot of planning. This quarter has been a little crazy, and next one is going to be hectic too. So I want to plan and make sure that I make as much progress as possible. Because as I mentioned, I will be traveling for a few months. So I'm just doing that, kind of just getting ready, planning, drawing, and working a lot.
That's a
So
lot,
yeah.
but you can do Thanks everyone for joining our conversation today.
We would love to hear your take on this. So make sure to follow us on Instagram at Two Ticas in Design with the number 2, or on Facebook under the same name.
See you on social media. Bye.
Bye.